Hey guys, as we promised, we are back for another dive into the music pool of the 80s. So, hey, I'm Jen.
I'm Gary.
And we are a little bit short on time this week. We've got a lot of things going on in our personal lives and professional lives, which unfortunately the podcast is not part of just yet. We're working on that.
That'd be great. That would be, I would love to say that. Sorry, guys. You're going to have to wait on me. I have podcasts that are paying more than you.
Exactly. I would love it. That'd be great. Well, I mean, I basically have two full-time jobs anyway, because I work a full-time job and I spend anywhere from 30 to 45 hours a week doing research. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. And
actually,
you say,
and you touched on this, wouldn't it be great if they, whatever this job is, would just pay you to do research?
Right, right. It would. It would be awesome.
You're very good at it.
Because
yes.
I am very good at it. But yeah, I could just see that. But yeah, you go, wait, you can work a full-time job and then you spend that many hours researching for the podcast every week. How's your personal life? Guess what? I don't have one. Yay.
Yeah,
you guys are my personal life.
Yeah, yes, right, right.
Yeah. 80s music. That's where my personal life is right now. And we'll be, looks like, for this week and the next 4 weeks. Because I think we're going to make this a 6-part miniseries.
Oh, nice.
Because we did the first 4 years. I figure we'll split the next 6 up in 3 and 3. We're doing...
Okay.
To 1983 this week and last week. Then we'll do to 86. And then we'll do to 89.
Yeah, that sounds pretty reasonable. I think that's a realistic plan. And I mean, guys, this is so extensive.
It is. And Carrie, you brought it up last week that, okay, I was thinking, okay, we're doing the 80s and the music and the movies and all that stuff. What does it have to do with our boys? Well, Tom Hiddleston was born in 1981. We have gone over the music that was popular when he was born. However, Johnny Depp was born in 1963.
Yes.
So in 1980, he would have been 17?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the young Johnny Depp listening to this music? Matter of fact, he was in one of these videos. He was in a Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers video.
Yeah, right, right, right. And
so,
you don't get much more 80s than Tom Petty, frankly.
Right.
You know, once again, the first video that I saw when they hooked MTV up at my house, I remember it because the cable guy was hooking it up and me and my brother are waiting, and it was You Got Lucky by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, yeah. You got lucky, baby, when I found you.
When I found you. Right.
Oh, yeah. Damn good song. But but what I was thinking was more along the lines of what music would Johnny groove to?
There truly is no telling. That guy is so eclectic.
It is. And now I've picked out a couple of songs that I would love to hear him sing and see him play.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's got a voice very similar to that of Rick Springfield, who is another of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse's Girl would be amazing done by Johnny Depp.
Yeah, yeah. I can certainly see him, doing some good old-fashioned turn of the decade, before we started getting into new wave, before we started getting into, the post-punk or whatever.
Right.
Rock and roll. Our boy loves rock and roll. You know what I mean?
Hey, he does. And in all shapes and forms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, 1980 would probably be into Blondie, I would hope.
I would think so. I would definitely think he would be into Blondie. He's never really talked too much about his idols other than like Keith Richards. He talks about his meeting with Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
But as far as the music that he listens to and has listened to, he doesn't really say a whole lot.
Yeah, I was wondering, what do you listen to? Sure, that's what we're speculating on. But what were his musical influences? Because he was... to start and is technically still primarily a musician.
He has always considered himself a musician rather than an actor. Yeah.
I would love to kind of deep dive and find out, you know, kind of what his influences.
Let me make a note. I will definitely do some research on that, see what I can come up with.
Yeah. And frankly, when we're talking, this would not be part of this podcast because, like you said, he was, you know, 20 or so. You know, his influences would probably be some 60s, 70s, certainly 70s.
Right. Yeah, his growing up years.
Yeah, but, you know, 1980, when he's still loving, you know, likely the Rolling Stones and Keith Richards, Emotional Rescue, and that is certainly one of my favorite Stone songs. Love Emotional Rescue.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Now, for Hiddleston, I would love to see Hiddleston do maybe some Journey or some Air Supply.
Yeah, I can see.
He's got the right voice for it. You still there?
I am. Okay. Yeah, sorry. So he was born in, did you say 81?
He was born in 1981. You're fading out really badly, bud.
There we go. I'm wondering if there were some things, I mean, certainly that he was listening to that would have been like 1987, 1988, when you're like a kid.
Right.
Listening to the radio, your mom's taking you to school or whatever. And I can't help but notice the number one song in 1988 was Faith by George Michael.
Yes.
And number two was I Need You Tonight by NXS. And yes. To me, that fits.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. The song I Need You Tonight by NXS, that song holds a special place for me. Our benefactor, Barry.
Yeah.
I went to high school with him.
Right, yes.
Went to junior prom with him and everything. It was great. But, guys, I'll post that picture if you really want to see it, as long as I get his permission.
you have to know. I'm sorry.
I have to get his permission first.
Okay.
But, he was going to a different school when we met. We were introduced through a common friend, and I was at the mall, sitting by the fountain in front of the record store when we met, and the song that was playing was NXS.
Oh, my God. That's actually a beautiful, really, seriously, a beautiful 80s story.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. When we were all young and dumb.
And some of us are still really stupid, but we've gotten a bit older.
But we're still alive, damn it.
There you go. But 1980s, in 1980, I don't see a whole lot that I would really equate with either one of the guys, really. Several songs I'd love to dedicate to either one of them. You know, Don't Do Me Like That is one. Sexy Eyes. Let me find. There's a few more. Oh, Heartache Tonight.
For some reason, I really think about number 41, 1980, Brass in Pocket by the Pretenders.
Right.
And Johnny liking that one, that seems like a...
It does. You're right. It does seem like a groove he would get into.
Yeah.
Against the Wind. Now, that one, kind of screams Johnny right there.
Indeed.
It really does.
Maybe some of the Eagles songs that are on here, The Long Run.
Yep.
And you know what? Heartbreaker. My Pat, I can see
that was another that I had picked.
I can see him loving the riffs and be like, I'm going to do this riff on the guitar.
I could just see that. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Refugee by Tom Petty.
Good pick.
Yup. Sir, I Want to Be Your Lover by Prince. That goes to either one of them or both. I'm not picky. Oh, moving on to 1981, there is Jesse's Girl.
Yeah.
Which is number five. I would really seriously love to hear Johnny do that one.
I would too.
Keep On Loving You, I'd love to see Tom do that one.
Yeah, that was a great, yeah. And that seems, you're right, that seems like that's his tone.
It really is. And his voice is amazing. He's impressive all the way around.
So, you know, we've heard him sing, you know, he did Hank Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Any other musical roles?
Actually, yes. But he never sang for Only Lovers Left Alive.
And we know he's a, you know, a musical person.
And he did sing, however, in the Loki series.
And yes.
And he catapulted Very Full to number 10 on the top 100 downloaded songs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Number 10. It debuted at number 10 the day after that episode premiered.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let me make this declaration. It would seem, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe we need to do analysis of this. It would seem that Tom, when it comes to the chart toppers and the hits, he is technically the more successful of the two.
Yep.
Ooh.
However, Johnny's done more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Johnny's done everything from videos for other artists to playing himself to producing and directing to everything. I mean, he's got a whole lot more credits to his name as far as the music goes.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't get in these people's heads, of course. You know, I'm only observing, but Keanu Reeves has had a band, kind of like Hollywood Vampires, called Dogstar.
Really?
And, and he's the bass player, and I've seen them do live stuff on mainstream shows.
Nice.
Seen them do, you know, little side concerts and that sort of thing. He would like to, you know, wear the mantle of being a musician.
I would love to see the three of them on stage together.
You talk about
a sell out show any place and every place it goes. Tom Hiddleston, Johnny Depp, and Keanu Reeves. Are you kidding me? Man, the world would show up to see these guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we've got two points going here. First of all, you could tell during a couple of these performances on TV that Keanu really wanted this band to catch on and was very thankful for the exposure, and maybe it was just him getting it out. But you would think that they're like, I really want to kind of sell a little bit and kind of get that exposure and let it travel far and wide and let people hear it. And he's been in the trenches. Johnny's been in the trenches, and he's been doing Hollywood Vampires for some time.
Yes.
Keanu has been doing the same. Dogstar has been in existence for at least 15 years.
Oh, wow. And I'm really surprised that it's not triggering. You know, I'm not saying I haven't heard of it. I'm just saying it did not register.
Well, and, you know, that's kind of where I'm coming from. Exactly, Jennifer.
Well, he doesn't, anytime anybody calls Johnny an actor, he's like, yeah, okay, I'm a musician, but whatever.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Keanu doesn't do that.
My point is, accidentally, almost, Tom ended up kind of charting
where these two have been.
You know, it was almost accidental if it weren't for the fact that it was part of the show.
It was accidental. They had no idea.
Right.
That this was going to happen. I mean, come on. It's the song is sung mainly in Norwegian.
Yes.
No one can understand the words to it.
No.
But the fact that Tom sang it was enough to catapult it to number 10 on the week's most downloaded songs.
Well, obviously the platform gave him that exposure, but I would like to kind of throw this in also to complicate my point. He did a damn good job, and that tune, there's something about it.
It's because it's the key that it's in. It's sweet, it's lilting, it's...
Yes.
It doesn't matter what he's saying. The fact that he's saying it in that tone makes every female out there have to go change her panties if you wear them. I don't. But you have to go change your bottom half, and it's the voice.
Yeah, right. And, you know, while we're talking about, you know, music and how it's in these guys' lives and other actor musicians, Tom ended up, like, hitting that one thing that one month after, you know, that episode premiered, and he did a good job, you know, and he kind of did a bucket list thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he did do a damn good job. He's amazing.
I think it would be interesting, you know, we know that Hollywood Vampires is going to continue to tour.
Right.
I think it would be interesting if he would consider, you know, no tours or whatever, but just making a vocal album.
That would be awesome if he would do that.
What do you think, right?
Oh, yeah. That would be incredible. But right now he's apparently still closeted with the I don't want to say new baby anymore, with child's what?
No, it's not new. Right.
Child's what, 6, 7 months old now?
We're getting on half a year.
Yeah. So they're actually probably already planning the kid's first birthday at this point.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, if you don't mind my saying, and I'm hoping that Tom's people, like, comb the internet, you know, while he's doing this, he could, you know, go to his basement and, you know, hook up a mic.
Oh, yeah.
Do some vocal stuff and...
Oh, please, garage bands are where it's at still.
Dude, and yes, right.
So, yeah. Oh, another one that would remind me of either one of the guys is Slowhand, the Pointer Sisters. We talked about that one last week. What?
I really almost want to say that for the second half of, you know, this year going into the first half of the second year, that should be one of the unofficial
songs of the podcast.
Okay.
All right. So that's the second post I have to make, guys. Yes, I know my blog sucks here lately. Sorry. 80 hours working and researching. Hello. Anyway. Yeah, okay, so I'll put that song on the blog. I will also put the picture on the blogs, granted that I get Barry's permission. Definitely. Oh, Take It on the Run. That's a good one.
Take It on the Run.
That one is more Johnny than Tom, though.
Yes.
Oh, there's yes, no getting I, over I, me. Yes. That's both of them.
I love how this list is, we've got the American versus the Brit, and there was such a line in the 80s between...
Oh, there was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was. Oh, let's see. You Make My Dreams Come True. Hall & Oates.
And, of course, Hall & Oates is going to pop up all the time here.
And, of course, number 46. Still waiting. Hit Me With Your Best Shot, baby.
Yep.
Pat Benatar. Oh. Yep. I mean, there's just so many good songs on here. There's so many that I would love to... Oh, Don't Stand So Close to Me. That... yeah, it would probably be Johnny back a couple of years ago when he was the target for everybody. Not funny?
Yeah, sorry, I'm still ruminating over Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
That's all right. I still haven't gotten anybody's best yet, but we'll see. The day is young. I am not 50 yet.
The challenge song from the sub to the dom.
There you go.
Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Nice. I didn't think about it like that, but yeah. Good one.
Yeah.
Good one. Oh, hello again, Neil Diamond. Okay, y'all, sorry, you're going to have to forgive me.
Talk about it.
I love Neil Diamond. I love the old stuff that he did. And of course, you know, there is no new stuff. But I loved him back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Wow.
He was just that, he had that voice.
Yeah.
That sexy, sweet, loved that.
He had like an even, but it was a gravelly tone. I don't know.
Yeah.
As Ed used to say, two words, Jewish Elvis.
It was, okay, there you go. Well, him and Barbara Streisand did a lot together, so.
Oh my God, and so good.
Uh-huh, I know. Barbara Streisand's another one I absolutely love, and I think I inherited that from my mother. She is my mom's absolute favorite female vocalist ever, is Barbara Streisand.
Wow.
Oh, and speaking of Barbara Streisand, A Star is Born.
Yeah.
Barbara Streisand was in the original Lady Gaga.
Well, no, the original was actually a 1930s movie.
Right, okay. Okay, not the original then. The one that most people know.
The original modern, yeah.
Is Barbara Streisand. However, Lady Gaga and
Cooper.
Yeah, redid it.
Yeah.
And, oh man. It's not 80s, but, oh man. The soundtrack for that.
Yeah, it got a lot of awards.
Oh, I Will Never Love Again. That song, I heard it the first time, and without ever seeing the film, before I ever saw the film, I heard that song and cried buckets.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, after I saw the film, I cried even more.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, Lady Gaga is another that is blog-worthy, definitely. She has done amazing things with, and for the first, what, 6-7 years of her career, no one saw her face?
Yeah, right. And, you know, she's doing the Joker movie.
Oh, is she?
What? Oh, yeah, the Joker sequel with Joaquin Phoenix. She's Harley Quinn, and it is entirely, the movie is entirely a musical.
Oh,
because
sweet.
The Joker at this point has gone completely insane, and so everything's a musical to him, and
okay.
That's how they're kind of setting it. And it makes, well, it, you know, if she's doing these superhero movies, you know.
Where is she in the Marvel Universe? Come on now.
Perhaps that's kind of where I'm going, exactly, you know.
So that's
her doing something with Hiddleston would be interesting.
Oh, don't make me hurt you. She is way too sexy to be doing shit with Hiddleston.
Hiddleston gets all the girls. What do you mean she's
telling
sexy?
You.
She is sexy now.
Oh, she is. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's really funny. All right.
Yeah.
I don't talk about my work much, but this is noteworthy.
Throw it in.
So, one of my coworkers is talking to our boss as I walk back through the restaurant, and she said something about the chick being really sexy and all this. And I'm like, who are you talking about? She's like, you don't tell me you didn't notice her, the chick. I was like, what chick? She's sitting over there. I was like, oh, tattoos. She's like, what? I was like, I call her tattoos because every time I see her, she's covered in tattoos and she always shows them off and they're gorgeous. And she's like, yeah, well, this chick is like 6 foot, maybe. Covered in tattoos. No. I'm not talking butch. No.
Yeah.
Covered in tattoos, but she's still very feminine looking.
Yeah.
Gorgeous is like the easiest way to describe her. So I'm sitting there and I was like, yeah. And I told them her real name. And I was like, yeah, she works at da 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 da. And they're looking at me like I have grown 3 heads.
Yeah.
How did you know that? I asked.
Because you know the
deviants. I asked. It's not hard, you know?
Yeah, that's how you know, exactly.
these two are like flipping their lids because I actually had the nerve to talk to her. Dude, she's a chick. It's not like she's going to like sprout laser beams out of her eyes and shoot me down or something. Come on.
Right.
Anyway, it was funny.
Yeah. Let that be a lesson also. You can talk to people.
Yeah, regardless of who they are or how beautiful you think
they
are.
What they look like, right.
I mean, Johnny Depp and Keanu Reeves and Tom Hiddleston, all 3, are good examples of this. Many times I've seen the stories about, like, the lady with the flat tire. Tom Hiddleston pulled off and sat with her until AAA got there because it was dark, it was raining, and he didn't want her to sit by herself. And she didn't even know who he was until he was about to leave.
Yeah.
You know, Keanu Reeves will stop and speak to anyone. He still rides the subway.
Yeah, the subway footage, I remember that distinctly. You know, him just letting her have the seat.
Oh, giving up his seat. Oh, yeah. And anytime you see a photo with him, with any female at all, he's got his arm around her, but he's got his hands out to the sides.
He's got the hover.
He's got it. You know, he wants to make it perfectly clear that he is not going for the easy, you know. And Depp is the same way. He will speak to anyone. It doesn't matter how tired he is, how upset he is, how disastrous whatever premiere has gone. He will still stop and speak to whoever wants to speak with him. It's his handlers that keep hurrying him along. And he's said more than once that he's going to fire them and get some new ones. But anyway, yeah, so they're all very much the icons of speak to me. Tom will tell you, he's got a favorite coffee shop he goes to in England. And there are many tourists that haunt the coffee shop waiting for him to show up. And as long as you don't mob his ass, yeah, he'll sit and talk to you. He'll take a picture, whatever. Just don't be frigging American and mob him.
Yeah, you know, let's keep this like the regular humans do instead of, oh, my God, and screaming at the guy, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's going to disappear. Yeah, no, he doesn't have that ability that I know of.
Yeah.
Although he's making a good bargain for it right now, you know. He seems to have disappeared.
Well, you know, these are good steps for him. I think so, too.
And it reinforces the professional versus personal, that line that he has always maintained.
And they kind of have to.
You might say that, but Johnny never did. Johnny's personal life was not personal. It was spread across the front page of every magazine that you could find on the newsstands.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. You're certainly right. I guess so. And at this point, he's so jaded. I would think that he's like, you know what, fuck it. You know, I'm not, you know, doing a court case, and I'm not obviously harassing this girl. You know, he's probably going to embrace his fans. I would think, especially after all of the outpouring and support that he had from the trial.
Yep.
I think he is going to embrace fans more.
I don't know. I don't know how he can. I mean, to be honest, I'm not joking. I'm not being facetious. Really, I don't see how he can, because he has always been available to his fans should they, you know, meet him or whatever. You know, he's always been right there, and never once has he not wanted pictures or conversation or autographs or whatever. I haven't read not one story where he met someone who, you know, wanted to talk to him, and he was like, look, dude, I really don't have time for this.
Okay. Yeah, I have never actually read a story where he was just dismissive.
Right.
Right.
And a lot of them are. Leonard Nimoy is the one that pops into mind. You could not talk to him. If you saw him at one of the sci-fi conventions, he wouldn't talk to you unless you bought a photograph, an autographed photograph, for $40 or more.
Right. Yes. He kept it business.
And that's ridiculous. I mean, I get it, but still, there's a lot of people out there that deserve your attention who don't have that kind of money to spend on a picture.
Yeah, you know, the other side of that, of course, however, is just the obnoxious fans are like, sorry, I am not satisfied with this picture that we did 15 minutes ago, and I'm going to hassle you and do this again.
Well, you do have those occasionally. I kind of, I wouldn't even relegate those to fans. Those are just annoying insects, but
Yeah, right.
but
You know,
yeah.
and I think about how last week I was watching the video. It's a Bruno Mars song. It's called The Lazy Song. And they got Leonard Nimoy, and it wasn't even Bruno Mars in it. It was a song, but it was a day in the life of a slightly deranged Leonard Nimoy where people would come up to him and he would hiss like a cat
Oh God.
or he'd throw stuff at him. Yeah, check it out
Oh
on YouTTube. And you're kind of like, I think I see where you're coming from, Leonard.
God. Yeah,
You know,
well.
these guys like Depp or Hiddleston could be like, you know what? Stop treating me like a once in a life, and it is a once in a lifetime commodity
Yeah.
for a fan, but for this guy, it's literally
It's
like
an
1:17 in the
everyday.
afternoon.
Well, Johnny is the one who went to jail for threatening the paparazzi with a 2x4.
Yeah, well, that's because they're cunts.
Yeah. Well, they kept following him and he kept telling them to leave him alone. And he walked past a dumpster outside of a building site, reached in, grabbed his 2x4, and he's like, if you guys do not back the hell off. He said the look of fear in their eyes was 100% worth it for the 6 hours in jail.
Nobody sued him. You know, everybody still loved him. I'm sure it was worth the investment.
Oh yeah. Of course, I'm not sure how much time he spent in jail for the armadillo incident, though.
Okay, yeah, that's different. Right.
An armadillo. I'm gonna have to use that the next time I wreck a hotel room. I'm gonna have to use
An
that
armadillo did
excuse.
it.
An armadillo snuck in here and wrecked my hotel room. I was asleep, dude. I have no idea.
If that happens this weekend and something just goes horribly wrong on my shift, I'm going to use the armadillo defense.
There
Sorry,
you
there was an
go.
armadillo in the machine room.
Don't know how he got in. He must have had a badge.
Yep. I would check that key fob. Somebody gave it to an armadillo.
Oh, Lord.
Right.
All right. Getting back to the music. All right. Number 34 in 1982. Open Arms. I'd love to hear either one of the guys do that one.
Arguably, besides, I don't know. Yeah, this is definitely one of Journey's top five.
Oh yeah.
You know, up with Don't Stop Believin' and Lovin' Touchin' Squeezin'.
Oh yeah.
You know, this would certainly be, yeah, I'd kind of see Hiddleston doing get more than Depp.
I don't. Depp doesn't really usually get very emotional in his music.
Yeah, I don't see him being a ballad. I love ballad and
More of a
love
rock and
ballad.
roll. I could see him doing Pac-Man Fever.
Absolutely.
Private Eyes, Hall &
Yeah, I
Oates
can
is
see him
another
doing
one.
Hall & Oates. Absolutely, you
Oh
bet.
yeah. Let's see. Oh, Eddie Money. Think I'm in Love. Gotta
I could
love
see
that
him doing
one.
that. Yeah, I think I'm in love.
Yup. Oh, Blue Eyes by Elton John. I love
Okay,
that
you got
song simply
blue
for the fact that
eyes.
I do have blue eyes and I could,
Yeah.
anybody, come on. But no.
Blue eyes, having blue eyes is a, like in real life, is actually a pretty strong, it's pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, it's captivating anyway.
Indeed.
Yeah, I had a guy come through my drive-thru. And no, I do not work at a fast food restaurant, so anyway, came through my drive-thru and he's sitting outside my window. I've given him his food, everything is good, and he's still sitting there. So I open the window. Can I help you? He's like, I just wanted to see those eyes again. I'm like, oh, dude, get the hell
Wow.
out of here. Like, whatever, take a picture, it'll last longer, man. But oh, Somebody's Baby, Jackson Brown.
Oh yeah, makes me think of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Oh, Gloria.
Branigan.
Absolutely. Oh, Yesterday's Songs, Neil Diamond.
Wow.
Oh, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic.
Yeah.
The Police.
82 was a good year.
It was. It was a really good year for music. Make a Move on Me, Olivia Newton-John. How many guys were like,
massive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pick me. Pick me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are kind of getting into some, like, really good stuff towards the end. I love it. You know, you talk about the hits that come at the beginning of these lists. Right at the end of the list
are a lot more.
Some really cool, like Hot in the City, number 90. This is our introduction to Billy Idol.
Right. And Van Halen, Pretty Woman.
And Oh Pretty Woman, you know, it was the Intruder / Oh Pretty Woman in the video.
Right.
Huge. And, you know, Kids in America by Kim Wilde.
That was amazing.
And we
the
also
Edge of 17. Edge of 17, Stevie Nicks.
Yep.
And I mean, that was my era. That was the coming of age song.
Yeah, Edge of 17. Yeah, I mean, she literally prophesized and talked about it.
Yep. Now we've got about 10 minutes, so let's run through 1983 really quickly. Number one, Every Breath. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 1 through 11 are like massive. 1983. I come from a land down under. I mean, come on.
I mean, all of these. You know, you can go with Do You Want to Hurt Me? And I'm like, okay, I'll go with that. And then we got Just You and I.
Oh, yeah. And then Sweet Dreams. Sweet Dreams are made of this. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You and I. Eddie Rabbit and Crystal Gayle. I think I mentioned this before. I have a picture of my grandmother with Crystal Gayle.
Oh, wow. And her beautiful, you know.
Oh, that friggin' sheet. Of 3.5 foot long hair.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, man. She Works Hard for the Money, Donna Summer.
Yep.
Hungry Like the Wolf, Duran Duran. Now, that kind of encapsulated the feeling of the 80s right there, that song did.
And I think this is essentially where we start really talking in earnest about including Hiddleston's musical taste, because this is a very British, let's face it, Duran Duran, they were definitely a British band, and they were freaking huge, and a lot of people that were in
the French
like,
hated
Alabama,
them. The French hated
Georgia.
Them, but other than that, everybody else loved them. Oh, I only know this because in a documentary they did about doing the A View to a Kill, the theme song for the Bond movie.
Yeah.
They filmed at the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
And they didn't have any trouble with fans. They're kind of like, okay, not used to this.
Oh.
Well, they passed a group of teenagers, and one of them was going, oh, man, is that Duran Duran? The other one was like, yeah, dude, fuck. What are they doing here? I can't stand them.
English pigs. Right. Okay. That's pretty funny.
So, yeah.
Here's where we start getting like British invasion really, really strong. And this is where I think we start talking more about Hiddleston.
Yeah.
You know, once we get into like 84 and he's 3 years old, you know.
Oh, there's a video somewhere online you can find of him at like 6 dancing with his sister.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The next series that we start talking about is going to be more like British Invasion. And again, this is just speculation. Maybe Johnny liked it. Maybe he didn't. But we certainly know.
And so anybody.
In the age of radio.
Anybody who has connections with Johnny, let him know. We want an interview.
I would love the insights on this.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, for small town blogs like this one and podcasts like this one, yeah, we don't rate. But yeah, I would love to get his outlook, his attitude, his thoughts on the 80s music and movies and things like that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we really are getting into some interesting British artists. You know, Elton John's still dominant, and
oh yeah,
Eurythmics is coming in, and yep. Billy Idol is coming in, and
Billy Idol is English?
Huh?
Billy Idol is English?
Yeah, Billy Idol is super English. Yeah,
wow. Idol's, okay. Yeah. David Bowie. David Bowie is really starting to hit his stride here. China Girl. Oh, China Girl. I love that one. But then Michael Jackson is coming in too with the Thriller album. He's got Beat It. You've got Want to Be Starting Something. Several others. And then you've got Men at Work. Men at Work. Weren't they English as well?
They're Australian.
Ah.
But they correlated pretty, you know, almost as much as the British correlated with the Americans. Gotcha. The Australians and the British had that kind of common, you know, Queens sort of thing.
Got it. And then, of course, you've got Elton John, as you said. I'm Still Standing. That is still, like, one of my favorite anthems ever.
Oh, yeah. Hugely underrated Elton John song. And the same year, at number 54, he did Sad Song, Say So Much.
Oh, yes. And he says exactly what I've said over and over and over again. If you can't figure out what to say, listen to the music. It'll tell you.
Right. Yes.
God, now I'm going to have to, when we get done with this, I'm going to have to put my headphones on and crank my music up.
Yeah, I do love these podcasts just because, yeah, you know, sure, it's bringing back memories or what have you, but these were killer songs.
Yes, they were. Oh, but obviously I'm not the only one who listens to them. There's already on Spotify, no, they do not pay me to say this, on Spotify there is already albums or playlists with each of these songs. 1980 top 100, 1981 top nice. 100. There is a playlist for every year, and there is a playlist for the 80s as well. So I'm not the only one. Because I was actually considering doing that on Spotify to create these playlists so that anybody could look them up, but they're already there.
Yeah. You know, you could always link to the podcast a Spotify playlist that would be appropriate.
I could do that, matter of fact. So that's number 3 that I have to do. All right.
That would be kind of interesting, you know, and it's up to interpretation, but your, if you will, educated speculation on what these guys per year would be about and listening to.
I could do that. I could definitely do that. I am a great, great one for studying human nature. I have said that before. I'll say it again. I've only been wrong, glaringly wrong, about one person, but I'm wrong about that person all the fucking time. So I'm just going to quit guessing. But yeah, so I could definitely do that. Have to consider their ages and, yeah, I could do that. Not a problem.
I don't know why, but I could see, like, Johnny Depp loving Love is a Battlefield by Pat Benatar.
Oh, he'd like the video more than he'd like the song.
Oh, shit. Oh, geez. True. You're so right, actually. Damn, that video was kicking.
Wasn't it, though?
Girl, it was.
All right, guys, we're kind of going to have to wrap it up. We got things to do and people to see. Anyway, but yeah, that is our take, 1980 to 1983. Let's see, next week we're going to be going through the list of 84 through 86.
Yep.
Going through our favorites and whatnot, and then the week after that we'll be doing our take on the guys' take on those years.
And when we get done with this call, and it'll take us a week or two, maybe I am going to encourage Jen behind the scenes to do a collaborative playlist on Spotify where you can't, and you know, listen, you can't do this by yourself.
Cool.
That's a lot of work. And I think that we could both probably, you know, keeping these playlists in mind and that sort of thing. That being said, we both have the right to include one that hasn't been included by the other, and we also have the right to veto.
Ooh, all right.
Like, no, I really, really don't think, and you will probably have 75 to 80% of the authority on this.
Sounds good.
Because you know, you do know your material, your source material. We can actually kind of post that maybe on the blog, you know.
Sounds good to me. All right, guys, let's give you our contact information right quick-like. Carrie, your information?
So I am on PlayStation Network. I am Traveler2300, one word, only one L.
All right, so that's on PlayStation Network, right?
Yes, on PlayStation Network. And you know what? If you want to actually give me a personal email, it's Mako. 3303, no spaces, Mako like the shark.
M-A-C or K?
M-A-K-O.
M-A-K-O. All right.
Yeah.
So we also have the Depheads and Hiddlestoners dedicated phone line. That one is 949-373-5476. Give us a call. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. All that kind of good stuff. We do have an email, depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. We have the blog at depheadshiddlestoners.com. Or you can go to barryreese.net and click the link. Anyway, we'll see you next time. And this is actually podcast 71, as yes. opposed to what we were thinking before. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the other direction, Jen, we're now approaching 75.
I know. We're going to have to do something spectacular for that one.
Indeed. Yes, ma'am.
All right, guys. We are out of here. Next week, we'll see ya. Peace and love.
Love and peace.
See you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.